Our Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to be reading from verse 23 to 32. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask them, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered, "We do not know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Amen.
So when Philip asked me what my title was in house group on Wednesday, Caroline's already laughing. I said, "Why?" And he was like, "Well, because I need to know." And I was like, "No, it is actually why. Like, why have I got the Britney Spears microphone on?" And you might be thinking, "Why is that idiot up at the front again preaching?" Sort of thing. Why? It's a good question to ask, and we ask it many times in many different ways, from the little toddler going, "Why is the sky blue? Why is the sea green? Why do birds fly?" etc., etc., to "Why is the cost of living going up? Why is things happening the way they are?" Why is a question we ask many times. And I think in our Christian walk, we need to ask why. We need to, when we look at the Bible, we say, "Why? Why is this happening? What is going on here? Why are people doing it this way?" And I apologize already for those who were here last week and listened to Matthew, because I'm going to head back into the first part of Matthew 21 and just look at why the chief priests and scribes and leaders were slightly annoyed at Jesus, and what was their motivation for what I'm actually meant to preach about. So as we see at the start of Matthew 21, when Jesus goes into the temple, and we see it a more descript of it in Luke 19, where Jesus goes into the temple and basically turns the tables over. We see angry Jesus, and we see a Jesus of action going in, and the chief priests and teachers of the law are not happy. And why are they not happy? Because this was their place of power. This was their place of position. This was their house, to a degree. They were in charge. They were the leaders. They were the ones who were making sure it was all done right, and Jesus came in and went, "Gents, you're not even close." You've turned my house into a den of robbers, and it should be a house of prayer. And obviously we know that prayer is important because that is talking to God. And we can do that all the time. And God wants that relationship. Prayer is about that relationship with God. So we see the why did Jesus do that? Because he knows that actually religion isn't about things. It isn't about how we do stuff. It's actually about relationship. It's about that going closer to God and having that place where we can worship God and be with God. And what they done, they'd gone, come on lads, we can make a bit good profit here. We can get it. We love this power. We love this authority. We walk in, people like, oh, there's the chief priest, there's the scribes. They've got the nicest clothes. They eat the nicest food. And yet it was all wrong. It was all for naught. They thought they were doing the right thing, but actually their why was because they were doing it for themselves. They loved it. They knew they looked good. They liked the healthy bank account and the power and the position it came. And Jesus knew that was man-centered religion. It wasn't a religion following God. So they were upset. And we get to where we should be in 23, where Jesus goes into the temple as he had many days, and he was teaching a bit like we had now. Obviously, slightly, I would have thought, a few more people in the temple courts. And to do this, you couldn't just like walk in and go, right, I'm going to tell you a story. You had to have authority. You had to have respect. People actually wanted to listen to you. And so the chief priests who were like, as it says in Luke 19, they just were like, look, we need to get rid of him. He has shook our foundation. Everything that we hold on to, everything that we see as important, is in jeopardy because of this man. He has come in and he is changing everything. He is turning people against us. He is saying that what we are doing is wrong, etc., etc. We need to get rid of him. So he's out the front. Good crowd there. Do they go, oh, Jesus, can we have a word? Right, come on. No, they like, it's like if somebody came up now and went, Chris, what authority have you got to stand there? So I think it was a public thing. They used their so-called authority to question his. And Jesus, he wasn't rude, he wasn't malicious or anything like that. He just went, okay, fair enough. Good question. Let me ask you a question. And what a question to ask. If you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? So they're like, we'll just take 5 minutes. We'll just have a quick chat amongst ourselves, sort of thing. We weren't expecting this, Jesus. And actually, they were like, well, if we say it's from heaven, Jesus will be like, well, why didn't you believe him? Because we don't. We didn't believe him. Because again, that was our that would question our authority. That was different to what we wanted. But yeah, if we say John was just a man and he was just this random guy who'd come and what he'd said sounded good, then the people were gonna have a go at us. In Luke 19, they were worried that the people were actually gonna stone them for doing it. Because they knew the respect that John had. So they were like, well, we're between a rock and a hard place here. We have no idea what to say. We can't win. Jesus has got us. What are we going to do? And they're like, all the people are watching and waiting for this answer from the people that should have the authority, from Jesus, the man who is God, obviously, who has the authority. And what do they do? There you go. Sorry, we don't know. We don't, we're going to back out of this one. You win. That's 1-0, Jesus. We just can't. We can't answer it because we can't win this. And they back out. So Jesus says, neither then will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But then he continues with this parable of the two sons. So what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, no, I'm not going. But afterwards, changed his mind and went. And he went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, yeah, go on then. Yeah, I'll go. I've got nothing on. I'm going. But actually, he didn't. So which of these did the will of the father? And they said, obviously, the first, the one who said, no, I'm not going, I'm busy, but actually did do it. So what is the why with these two? Why did the first one go, no, I'm not going to do it, but then go? Because he knew what was right. He you could fill in the blank of what his plan was. He was like, no, I'm going to, in these times, I'm going to sow my field, or I've got a cow I'm going to buy, or I've got some sheep I need to look after, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And my mates are going to drink some, do you know what I mean? Whatever, fill in the blank of what he, in his head, he was going to do. And he went, actually, no, I know what's right. I know what I must do. I must do what my father wants me to do. I must do what my father has asked me to do, to go and work in his field. Whatever it is that I had planned, I can put to the side because it's not as important. I will go and do it. And then the second one, he's like, yes, Dad, awesome, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do it, yes, yes, yes. And then his mate rings him. Obviously, we're in now, they didn't have any mobile phones. Goes, oh, we're going round Thingy's house for a curry and a palmo. Oh, man, let's go. Sort of thing, and he completely forgets. He puts his priorities above what he knows he should do. He'd said, yeah, Dad, I'm there. I'm going to go and do it. You've asked me to do something. I respect your authority. But actually then, when it comes to it, when in his mind the better offer came, he was out. He was gone. And how we see that with the chief priests and the teachers of the law, that actually their why was, we want to look good, we want to save face, we want to go, I am doing what God wants, aren't I awesome? But actually their motivation, their why, was nothing to do with what God's wanted. On the outside they wanted the mask of, look, we're pious, we're, as Jesus said about, look how they pray. They prayed for an inn, they gave massive amounts of money, but actually it was all from the wrong place. The motives weren't right. When it came down to it, they just wanted to do stuff for themselves. But actually, the lowest of the low people, again, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, when they saw what Jesus was doing, as we see again in Luke 19 and 20, they were bringing people to Jesus to be healed. He was doing wondrous, miraculous things. And the lowest of the low, those people who nobody looked on well in society, were like, this is awesome. God is doing an amazing thing in this place. And I need to change. Whatever I wanted is immaterial compared to this. Their why had changed because they'd been changed. They'd met with God. And they knew whatever they thought was important needed to be pushed to the side. So what about us? Living in 2023. What's our why? Why are we here? You may be here tonight because somebody's dragged you along. This is what you do. Why is this important to you? What is your
motivation for life? Are we like the tax collectors who do all the right things, but for completely the wrong reasons? Because we want to look good on a Sunday, we want to do church, we want to go to a house group or prayer meeting or fill in the blank, whatever. But actually, when we're not at those things, that's my time. That's me time, I do what I want. Or are we here because we know we need to be? Because actually, what the world's offering out there, everything that looks amazing and fulfilling, we know that it's not even close. That actually there's only one person that can satisfy our every need and every desire, and that's God. That actually we need him. And that it doesn't matter what is offered to us. God is the most important thing in our lives. And we need to think about why we do what we do. And as we heard about this morning, about the great and glorious salvation to come. But actually, that which is fantastic, and if you're not a Christian tonight, you might be thinking, yeah, but why should that bother me? I'm not going to die tomorrow. I'm a young person, or not so young person, but actually I don't think about death. I don't think about what's going to happen after that. Well, I say two things. One, no one knows the time they're going to die. And two, God is as much at work in my life right now, and the Christian lives, as he is at the end of time. The benefit I have now is outweighs my disobedience or wanting to do my own thing. The gospel is that we are saved and that we have a glorious time coming, but it's also that God is with us now. That through the hard times, through the ups and downs, he is with us. And that's why it's so important to follow him. That is why it's so important that our why, every day, every minute of every day, is to follow him. And you know what? It's not easy. I have to be honest, I am absolutely shattered. I've had a busy week, lots of driving. Kidderminster's a nice place in the dark. Do I really want to be here preaching this message right now, if I'm honest? No. But do I need to be? Yeah. Because God has given me, well, I think he has, you might disagree, God has given me a gift to share this word. And he's called me to do so. I don't want to be. I'd rather be at home in bed, to be honest. But actually, we're called to follow him in season, out of season. And if you're a Christian tonight, I just want to encourage you that he is faithful. That you know you need him. And as Matt said this morning, and it's such an amazing thing to remember that he sings over us. It's good to have you singing and not me, but that, just think of that, that when God looks at you, he smiles, he loves you. And actually, it doesn't matter what you're going through now. You might be going through a horrific experience. You might be going through stuff in your life that you've never experienced before and that you don't see a way out of. But actually, God's there right in the midst. His opinion of you hasn't changed. His help for you hasn't changed. His grace and his mercy is new every morning. And for those of you who aren't Christians and thinking, I don't see the point, I don't see why. Life wasn't designed to be lived alone. And I don't mean without a husband or wife. I mean without God. The world out there, as good as it looks, is designed to destroy us. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I know I say that a lot, but it's true. God comes. That is why when he went into the temple, he got annoyed. He kicked over those things, because to Jesus and to God, relationship is important. He wants that relationship with us. And he'll go in there and shake up our lives. He will turn over the tables in our lives. He will bring us to our knees if he needs to show us that he is there and that he cares, and that actually he can bring us out. Because it's too easy for us to build our lives on things that do not sustain, things that are flimsy and fragile. We can surround ourselves with nice possessions, with all the desires of the world, but they can come crashing down in an instant, and a lot of you I know that. And we need to remember why God is important, because he's an anchor in this world. We're obviously going to learn about on Wednesday with the identity stuff, as we know that the world is losing itself, honestly. It's running out of ideas of how to find itself, and it's digging the depths of insanity to a degree. Because, and from experience, and I said this to one of my non-Christian friends this week who's a counsellor, I said it's strange when you work with men in mental health situation that actually the bottom of their list will be God. They'll try everything else. And some weird and wonderful ways will be tried before they come to God. And that's the issue. The world out there and many in here, our wires, we're hurting. We're suffering. We need help. We're just seeking something. But actually, God is that something. And with the teachers of the law, they'd thought they'd got it. They had the power. They had the authority. They had everything that you'd have thought you wanted. But it was nothing. It was the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the lowest of the law, that knew the truth, that sought God, and that actually were fulfilled and were blessed by the Father. So let me encourage you. Ask why you do things, but also remember who God is and why he loves you and what he did for you, what he did for you for your future, but what he's doing for you in your today, in your tomorrow, in your next week. That whatever comes, he'll be there with you in every single step, good or bad.